Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our devotional lessons based on the Gospel of John. And I really hope that you've been enjoying and been blessed by these devotional lessons based on the Gospel of John, as I have been in presenting them to you. Before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, again we thank you for this wonderful opportunity it is to open up thy very words. Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit of God to be our guide and teacher today. We pray for the saint of God, for those who were truly saved, have believed and trusting in Jesus shed blood and nothing else to secure them a home in heaven and forgive them for all their sins. We pray for the saint of God, that they would be encouraged, built up in the things of thee, Lord, and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We also pray for the lost soul today that's never trusted Jesus Christ shed blood and nothing else to pay for all their sins and secure them a home in heaven. We pray that this would be the very day that they would believe in their heart that Christ died, he died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day, and that they're trusting in his shed blood and nothing else to save them from going to hell, having their sins forgiven and securing them a home in heaven. And we will rejoice with the angels in heaven over one sinner that repenteth this day. Father, now we commit this time into thy hand. We ask you to have your will in your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, before we begin, I want to remind folks that are listening that the devotional lessons based on the Gospel of John are available on CD. All you have to do is drop me a note. You'll be given the address where you can reach me at the end of the broadcast, and I'll be more than happy to send you out a CD of these lessons today or any lessons, and I'll get that right out to you free of charge. Also, I do have available a catalog of all the lessons, all the studies that have been aired over the Pastor's Study over the many years that we've been on. So if you'd like a copy of that catalog, again, drop me a note, request a catalog, and I'll be sure to get it right out to you. All right, let's get into today's lesson. Today we are going to begin in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 28. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 28. And in all our studies, I recommend that you do have the King James Bible, the Word of God, so that you can read along with me. So we're in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 28, and we read this. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. There was a question in the mind of every person Jesus came in contact with as to his purpose on earth and his work that was to be accomplished. There was a question about his going away. They never understood that he came to die for sinners and that he would be resurrected. Over and over, the multitudes went away not understanding. In our text, Jesus said, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. There were three things that Jesus said they would know. The first one is, they would know his person. He said, then shall you know that I am he. Jesus had told them over and over who he was. But in the final hour of the crucifixion, when the earth was darkened, the Bible says, the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done. They feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. The second thing that Jesus said they would know is they would know his power. Jesus said, and I do nothing of myself. You see, every miracle that Jesus performed revealed that he was God in flesh. Yet none would believe him. On the cross, they saw for the first time one who had the power to lay down his life. The scripture says, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. The third thing that Jesus said they would know is that they would know his purpose. Jesus said, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. The continual message of the Lord had been about his purpose for coming into the world. He told the disciples that he must die, that he would be resurrected. He preached to the multitudes that he came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Even the disciples didn't understand this. But when they lifted him up on the cross, they saw him bow his head and heard him say, it is finished. Jesus said, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. There are a lot of things that we are excused from simply because we didn't know. There are a lot of things that we are not responsible for because we did not understand. But because Jesus was lifted up on the cross, we are left without a reason in the matter of salvation. There are three things that we should know because of Calvary. The first one is we should know the penalty for sin. We should know the penalty for sin. You see, Calvary is actually the sinner's preview of hell. In Isaiah chapter 53, in verse number 6, we read this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What is the penalty for sin? The Bible says the wages or the penalty for sin is death. What is death? Death is separation from God, cut off from his presence, and suffering the torments of hell. The Bible says that the Lord laid on Jesus the penalty of our sin. You see, only God had the authority to lay our sins upon his Son, both because the sin was committed against him and because Christ was his own Son, who himself knew no sin. Because he was lifted up, we should know that Jesus suffered death for us when he died on the cross. He suffered the separation from God when he cried out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, my friend, he suffered hell for every sinner. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. At 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we read the following. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are aware that most unsaved people just don't care. But if there is any concern left in you about your sin, about your future destiny, or if there is any desire within you to miss hell and go to heaven, my friend, then I beg you, yes, I beg you to take a look at Calvary and see and know the penalty for sin. The second thing we want to know is we should know the price for salvation. We should know the price for salvation. You who have spurned God's invitation, trampled under your feet God's great offer, walked out of the church feeling proud that you didn't give in, have never understood the value that God has placed upon your soul to pay such a price for salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 tell us the price for salvation. We read this. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, my dear friend, the blood that was shed on the cross was no ordinary blood. It was the precious blood of the Son of God. It cost God everything to purchase for us the privilege to be saved. And yet man is so foolish to neglect this great salvation. We read in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, we read the following. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? We will never see the real cost of salvation, the value of salvation, or the importance of salvation until we take a look at Calvary. Freedom for this world has cost millions of lives. Advancements and better living has cost billions of dollars, and man has taken advantage of it. But our salvation cost God his Son and cost Jesus his life. The third thing we should know is the provisions for the saints. We should know the provisions for the saints. If there was not a hell to shun and a heaven to gain, then the coming of Christ to this world and his awful death on the cross was in vain. But one great truth that Calvary teaches us is that hell is an awful place, and heaven is a blessed place. Therefore, provisions must be made so man can escape hell and eternally dwell in heaven. One of the greatest songs that describes this provision is entitled, Justified. When all the horrors of hell before us, it was Jesus who stepped in and made it possible for us to escape the judgment. Calvary would certainly tell any sensible thinking person that God must have something very special on the other side. that he would pay such a price that man could be privileged to go there. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, we read about that place. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You see, Paul was taken up and given a little preview of heaven. He came back declaring it was too glorious for him to write about. He lived the rest of his days betwixt the strait, having a desire to go on and be with the Lord. You can refuse these provisions. You don't have to accept them. God won't force you. But what a tragic decision to make when you say no and miss the provisions for the saints. Because of Calvary, we should know. Sinner friend listening today, you should know about Calvary. Because you know, you should be saved. Amen. Now we're still in the Gospel of John chapter 8. Let's turn to verse 31 of John chapter 8, verse 31. And we read in verse 31 of John chapter 8, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." I suppose the word "if" is used more than any other word in the English language. In the 8th chapter of John, Jesus used the word "if" at least 6 times in relaying to us the most important aspect of our life: discipleship, salvation, freedom, service, eternal life, and love. I want to use 4 of these verses today as we bring the lesson and pray the Holy Spirit will melt your heart with conviction. The first one is the "if" of discipleship. The "if" of discipleship. In verse 31 of John chapter 8, we read, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." So many people claim the name of a Christian today, and yet their life doesn't back it up. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed." True discipleship is a result of abiding in the truth. And when the persecution and testing comes, the true disciple will not surrender. Abiding and continuing in the word until we are identified as one of his disciples seems to be a thing of the past. You have so many that have Sunday morning religion, and that is all they want for their weekly portion. This leaves no room for the opinion of man, but just simply states the truth of discipleship. The second "if" is the "if" of freedom in verse 36. The second "if" is the "if" of freedom in verse 36, John chapter 8, which reads, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." The real evidence that a person has been birthed into the family of God is that they have been set free from the habits of sin. This means that a person who is truly saved has been set free from the world and no longer acts or talks like the world. In our day, we have a new breed of Christianity, which is anything is permissible. That is not the kind of Christianity that the Bible speaks of. Real Christianity is that which delivers from the bondage of sin, the habits of sin, and the desire for sin. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, we read the following. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Nowhere in the Bible can you find where a person can be saved and continue in the same old way. Amen. So far, we've looked at the if of discipleship in verse 31, John chapter 8. The if of freedom, verse 36 of John chapter 8. And the third if is the if of belief, verse 46. The if of belief found in verse 46 of John chapter 8, which reads, which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? It seems so difficult to convince the Christian that if Jesus said anything, we should believe it. This was true of the day when Jesus walked the earth. His question was, if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? There are multitudes of Christians today who are saved by the grace of God, love Jesus, are faithful to serve him, and yet they worry. Believers worry about what will happen when he has said, all things work together for good that love God. Believers worry about the means of survival when he has said he would supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If Jesus said anything, it is important. And if he said it, he meant it. We can depend on what he said, so why not believe instead of worrying? Let's look at the fourth and final if in our lesson today. And that is the if of assurance. The if of assurance found in John chapter 8, the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 51. And we read this in verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Without this great promise, death would be a horrible thing. But death can have no power over that person whose life is hid with Christ and God. This does not mean that the body will not die. You see, many precious saints has died and the body is planted in the grave. This means that the ones who have believed on the Lord Jesus to the keeping of his saying, they possess eternal life and shall never die. In the Gospel of John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, John's Gospel chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, we read this. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? The greatest possession that a man can have in this life is to be ready to meet God when the hour comes. There are a lot of things we don't know in this life, but one thing we can all know, and that is that we are saved. If we have kept the saying, the grave may claim the body, but God has first claim on the soul that shall never die. Listen with me to the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote in his first epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 15 and verses 55 to 57. He wrote, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In this lesson, we have looked at the if of discipleship in verse 31 of John 8. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. The question is, have you continued in the words of Jesus? If you have, then you're truly a disciple of his. If not, then you're not his disciple. Then we saw, second of all, the if to freedom in verse 36 of John chapter 8. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And then thirdly, we saw the if of belief in verse 46 of John's Gospel, chapter 8. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? You know, it's sad how many people go around today, claim to be Christians, but you can see in their life is full of worry and turmoil because they just won't trust the promises of God. When God made a promise, he meant it, and he will keep it. Amen. There are many people we've come in contact through in our lives that promise things and never come through, but Jesus Christ always come through. And you can be a testify to that in your own life as you've seen him come through for you time and time again. And then finally, we looked at the if of assurance in verse 51 of John's Gospel, chapter 8. Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, if any man keep my saying, he shall never see death. You see, we have the great promise of those of us who are saved, of eternal security. Yes, some of us may die and our bodies are planted in the grave, in the ground. But you know what? Our soul is eternal. We shall never die. And someday, when the Lord returns for the church, we'll be caught up. Those of us in the grave, our bodies will be resurrected. We'll be given new glorified bodies. You see, the grave no longer has a hold over you and I who are true believers. These are the great sayings and the ifs of our Lord. But here is a great question as I leave you today. If you have not trusted in only Jesus Christ shed blood to save you, won't you do it right now, today? Well, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the pastor's study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you. And good day.